on the next episode of Sip Suds and Smokes.
So today the Wicked Weed beers we'll be trying are the Pernicious IPA, the Perny Haze, Hazy IPA, Freak of Nature, Double IPA, Coastal Love, Hazy IPA. Wow, it's romantic. The Dr. Dank Pineapple Dream IPA with pineapple. The Mango Wowie Hazy IPA with mango. Oh man, it's really expanding their lineup. And the Strawberry Kiwi Burst Session. Are these Kool-Aid flavors that you pasted?
Oh,
are these?
Yeah. The Strawberry Kiwi Burst Blast Session Sour.
I just crashed through the wall.
Juicy.
Juicy indeed. And we have one extra special Wicked Weed beer that we'll be trying at the end.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone, to this sud segment where when we refuse to just drink any old beer that's put in front of us, unless it's free, of course. What?
Wow.
Who wrote that?
Is that a real sentence?
And when do they start
you know,
third
it would
grade?
Be interesting if someone would read the script a couple times before we start the show. And then
did we just chat GPT this entire episode?
We broke the fourth wall.
Don't think.
I think I need a beer.
Wall. David can't be in charge of conjugating anything.
God bless.
Okay. Certainly not conjugal visits.
How dare
oh, wait,
you?
No, that's a different.
It's a whole different.
He does that.
But thank you, Sparky.
I'm here for you guys.
I used to make a living off conjugal. No, never mind.
Well, I'm one of your hosts, Good Old Gal Juliana.
That's a different show.
Joining me at this great table today is good old
Big
boy
Ginger.
Mike.
I'm just glad nobody's shooting at our show yet, anyway.
That we know of.
There's always hope.
There's always hope, yes. Good old boy Sparky, hello.
I mean, the day ain't over yet, I think is really the point I want to drive home.
I think I just rang the dinner bell for Barger. He went, "Whoa, weapons! I'm in."
Yeah, We better record this episode quickly. That's all I'm saying.
Oh man, good old boy Tim. Hi.
Oh hey, I'm here to help Dave put verbs into his sentences.
Whoa. You're a scholar and a gentleman.
What do you call that? The verberator? Is that what you called it, Tim? Where do you put that on your resume, man? I think you should just put it like right in the middle in big 24-point, you know, bold type.
Oh, yeah. It's
listen, all I'm saying is I put a good 15 minutes into putting these scripts together. All right.
You can only hit paste so many times. Is that what you're saying, Dave?
Wow. Hi, good old boy, Dave.
You know what? You and I have
issues.
There's some backstory here. There's a whole couple episodes that need to build this up.
All this is put together well in advance. So
Swiss watch.
What's that like 42 minutes before we turn the mics on?
Quick read through.
Was put together poorly in
quick
advance.
Quick read through. Those
Verberator and quality control. I like that Tim is here.
Taste Awards Hall of Fame, you know. I mean, I'm just saying there's a certain standard.
Oh, I mean, I feel like we're maybe the best of Nashville.
Ooh.
Yes, we are. Hang tough with us, folks. We are going to get to beer today.
I think this is more about the rest of Nashville.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
The bar's low.
Recently, I saw an interesting article come across my feed. It was from Forbes.com from a few months ago, and it's about some new things happening with Wicked Weed Brewing Company 7 years after they were acquired by AB InBev.
Mm.
I realized it had been a long time since we had tried any of their beers. Well, any new ones, anyway. So good old boy Dave and I headed to the beer store to see what we could find. Good old boy Tim, speaking of beers that we got, would you mind giving us the lineup of what we're going to drink today?
Yeah, of course. And I won't be doing it in my best Roy Williams, North Carolina accent, because I just don't have that draw. despite living in North and South Carolina for years. So today, the Wicked Weed beers we'll be trying are the Pernicious IPA, the Perny Haze, Hazy IPA, Freak of Nature, Double IPA, Coastal Love, Hazy IPA. Wow, it's romantic. The Dr. Dank Pineapple Dream IPA with pineapple. The Mango Wowie Hazy IPA with mango. Oh, man, this really expanding their lineup.
It's getting fruity here.
And the Strawberry Kiwi Burst Session. Are these Kool-Aid flavors that you pasted into this?
Oh, yeah. Strawberry Kiwi Burst Blast Session Sour.
I just crashed through the wall.
Juicy.
Juicy, indeed. And we have one extra special Wicked Weed beer that we'll be trying at the end.
Yay. Well, thank you. Good old boy Sparky, why don't you give us the suds ratings for today?
Well, first of all, I would like to use a completely offensive accent for the state of North Carolina. And I must add that my children go to summer camp in the same county where Deliverance is filmed, which is right on the Georgia-North Carolina border.
No.
That's correct. They know what to do when they hear banjo music. Mm-hmm. But in light of respect of all the tragedy they've been through recently, I'm going to eschew that for another episode, but I will come back to you once you've rebuilt North Carolina. I promise
you. Your time's coming, North Carolina.
So we'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds raisings, plus our signature belching sounds. And here are those ratings now. 1, that sucks. Give me anything but a Bud Weiser product. 2, was that a belch? Number 3, what a relief. 4, a body really should not make that sound. And 5, listen to that hang time, give me another.
You know, it's like the words. You can tell by the words that 5 is better than 1, but when you listen to the sounds, you're like, is that really better? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess what's better, you know?
You know your whole insides exploding out of you.
Or you missed the creative meeting in the basement like 14 years ago, but thanks for playing along, Dave. I appreciate it.
Now occurred to you. Yes.
Now, there's always time to revisit that.
Put it in a memo.
I've been thinking about it for a while.
He's got a vision board about it.
How sweet.
Just chew the gummy and swallow. It'll be okay.
You know what, Juliana? We're still in the outs.
We'll talk
right now.
Okay. We'll talk about it on the Discord.
If you wondered where you were, now you know. Big gender.
Okay. So wow.
Let's talk about one beer and then we'll give the context of yeah, I like this because
okay.
I need to get some beer flowing in me, and I'm sure okay. Our audience needs to go, what is this about?
All right. Let's start with the original, the Pernicious IPA. 7.3% ABV. Pernicious implies influence that is harmful in a way not easily noticed. This beer is harmful, not because of overwhelming hop bitterness, but because its balanced brightness insidiously ruins your expectations for all other IPAs. This hop delivery vehicle is crafted to enjoy fresh and often, and because of its drinkability and clean finish, you'll never look at IPAs the same again.
Oh, I definitely don't look at it the same way ever again.
So the hops that they use are Amarillo, Centennial, Columbus, Matuka, Pacific Gem, and Warrior.
I thought that Centennial was probably the predominant hop I was, picking up on.
Is this
here.
Beechwood aged?
No. And then it's dry hopped with almost as many as it's hopped with, yes.
Of different hops?
Amarillo, Citra, Galaxy, Mosaic, Matuka, and Pacific Jade.
Lord. Like, why so many?
Well, okay, I was going to ask that question.
So a little bit of context, you have to think about what was going on, you know, with craft beer in the marketplace. So this was what I would call the preamble to the hops wars. You know, this is when everybody had gone through and they were looking at, you know, pub style. Everybody was making a pilsner, everybody was making a white ale, everybody was making a red ale, everybody was making a stout. And, you know, this is kind of just beyond that, and everybody is really getting into the point where hops are becoming a lot more available, and the style of the beers were moving into more and more. And so I think that's what I remember very much about this was, wow, this is a very hoppy beer. And it was an explosion of flavor. Now we kind of look at it and go, it's not in balance, you know. Or there's, you know, we've had, you know, 400 other beers that are just like this, you know.
Yeah, it definitely tastes kind of like a lot of other beers. I don't know. I do think it's very balanced, though. I guess maybe in the IPA West Coast world, it is really smooth for 7.2 or something. Like,
you looking to me for confirmation?
Two of these pints, I know.
Was that a question or a statement? I'm not quite sure. You're looking at Dave going, and this is balanced.
I feel like Dave's the kind of guy like who also would have two of these pints quickly and be like, wow, that was kind of where I wanted to get.
And I got there.
Yeah. Kind of dried my mouth out. Man,
do you guys remember the whole like story of the name?
Pernicious?
Mm-hmm.
Do tell.
Oh, yeah.
Father Sparky.
So Henry VIII... was offended by hops, and he called it a vile,
off with their head,
pernicious and wicked weed.
That
was banned.
He was at the marketing meeting
once again.
Somebody read that article,
and it wasn't until his daughter Elizabeth came and hops were allowed to come back into fashion again. But yeah. He apparently did not like the hops.
So if she did not have daddy issues, we would never have hops.
At their brew pub, that had that quote on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day. I mean, this reminds me of like a not quite as good two-hearted. You know, to Mike's point about Centennial.
So it's like a one-hearted.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, it's a one-hearted. It's not terrible, though.
It's not terrible.
Okay. Well, we are going to rate Pernicious a 3.
Mm. But also now I want two-hearted, now that you mentioned it.
Good job, Tim.
Two-hearted is like all Centennial. This, you know, the Amarillo off this, I thought was the odd duck, you know, probably in that hop blend. And I would rather have the two-hearted all day long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a bad IPA, though, being in Bev, that it's everywhere now.
Like if you can't go to a football get game, two-hearted.
Yeah.
And you can get it fresh, which is nice too, a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about their distribution footprint after the break here.
Yes. Yeah. So stay tuned with us, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today's discussion is on Wicked Weed.
Part of what kind of inspired this conversation was actually an article that was published in Lifestyle Spirits by Emily Price, contributor. I love her byline, which is I cover alcohol, cannabis, and intoxicating travel and adventures. That sounds like us, right?
That's a good job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can already hear Barger at the top of the mountain going, yes!
Yeah, you get paid for that?
Contributor. Yeah, I'm stoned. What do I have to do again?
It's a weird last name, contributor.
Well, the name of this article was 7 years after joining AB InBev's high-end Wicked Weed is Thriving was the name of the article. We'll include a link to this full article if you want to read it. But, you know, I think that it just kind of provoked a conversation that, you know, if you did not know that InBev is the owner of a huge, you know, alcohol conglomerate globally. It's fairly beer heavy, although they do make other forms of beverages as well.
Dutch.
And they own Anheuser-Busch in the U.S. Dutch, market, whatever. As well as, Belgium. You know, globally as well. And so they went through a lot of acquisitions of purchasing a tremendous number of brands, you know, globally in the craft beer industry. And Wicked Weed was actually one of the very first acquisitions that they made. And so I think this is kind of looking at the, what happened, you know, are they better off, you know, some of these breweries in a post-acquisition mode? And so this article kind of was answering that basic question. And one of the key things that they talk about is that they have definitely expanded distribution, and actually they had the largest production year last year in the history of the brewery. And part of that is, so Wicked Weed is based in North Carolina, in Asheville, but they've expanded distribution to a number of states. I think I counted 5, 6. So it's North and South Carolina is where they distributed at the point of acquisition. But after that, they added Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, and Virginia, as well as some other select markets in the Northeast part of the U.S. So they really expanded a lot of the, you know, geographic footprint for a lot of the beers that they had been making. And, but, you know, we've had some conversations in pre-production, you know, is that really a good thing? And what's really kind of going on, you know, with kind of the application footprint or the common cycle that, you know, are they doing the same thing with each of these brands or they're doing something completely different? Because, I mean, I don't think you have to look any further than looking at Goose Island and saying, you know, is Goose Island, you know, better off? They were actually probably one of the very first acquisitions, they were, you know, to go down.
They're probably like, man, we went cheap.
Yeah.
So cheap.
Yeah.
So and, cheap.
You know, so this cycle actually happened through a lot of craft beer. And I think the one moment that all of us were kind of gasping at is when Constellation purchased Ballast Point, which is in California.
Was
for $1 billion
with a B.
$1 billion, and so
and ran it into the ground in record time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like yeah, obviously, Ballast Point.
It's one of their beers.
That was bad, but but for Goose Island, like Goose Island is still out there. Like they're still you can still find their beers, and there's a lot of craft brands that have come and gone since then. So in that sense, maybe, you know, these like they are better off in a way.
I know who was the winner out of all of this.
America.
The lawyers that
were behind the contracts.
All these deals that went down.
Yeah.
I played golf with them, so I know exactly who won. So.
Having been in that space and signing these brands, you know, there was a very big difference. Like for Ballast Point, their goal was to get it in all 50 states as quickly as possible. And there was no planning or sustainability model or anything like that. And then, you know, I would argue that when you look at some of these bigger brands like Lagunitas or Ballast Point, their culture was amazing. And it did not fit.
I like how you use it in a past tense, like it's been dragged out back and shot.
It was right. So they murdered what made these brands special and significant, and then ran them into the ground. And AB InBev has done that too with like a lot of the brands they've acquired. this is like one of the rare moments where they haven't screwed it up, which, you know, they just offloaded a bunch of brands recently that they had just run into the ground. So it's, I think there's a really like lack of understanding with these big brands. You know, you can't, you can put Bud Light or Mick Ultra or, you know, Coors Banquet anywhere, right? But you can't, you can't necessarily do that with some of these craft brands. And I think they were smart with this brand by not just blowing it up all over the country and letting it die on the shelf. I think that was a smart move on their part, but that was probably the exception and not the rule. God bless those attorneys.
So I'm going to throw out one question. When you tasted Pernicious today, did it hold up to where you thought that beer was originally? Did it get better or worse, or was it basically the way that you remember it?
I don't know about today, but like I remember tasting it before they were purchased and then not long after when they had started expanding the production on it. And it felt like, and maybe it was just my perception then and bias, but it felt like it was different. It fell off between the, so, and it's been so long since I've had it now.
Like it tasted different today. Or it was, yeah, muted.
It just wasn't quite as flavorful.
Like, yeah, it just didn't pop.
Yeah,
like it did.
It had too much Amarillo, which is what it had today.
But now it's 7 years gone. Like my palate's changed in so many different ways.
Yeah, we've had a couple of episodes since then.
I've grown. Grown as a person.
I appreciate that. Juliana was just telling me about that prior to this.
She's told me. Yeah, she's always talking about how big I am.
You're more full of crap than you were 7 years ago. Is that what you're saying, Dave?
That's a way to say it. It's
everybody not has to have a goal.
It's not the way I would appreciate it being said.
What were you going to say, Juliana?
Yeah. No, but to.
Talk about my growth.
Talk about your growth. Talk about all of our
growth.
We
need to get it removed.
Yeah.
Again.
No, but
I thought the hair was cute.
Before Wicked Weed was taken over, they were a force to be reckoned with. Everything that we had was great. We couldn't stop talking about the next great beer, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then the takeover happened, and then we were all like just sort of like shell-shocked, right?
Absolutely.
And then somebody was like, well, let's at least try what's coming out now and just see. Maybe it won't be so bad. And I do remember it being like softer and almost watered down, and we were like, oh, so this is what happens
right
when InBev buys out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now that it's been a few years later, it's okay. I still feel like it's not, and maybe again this is my perception because back then everything was pretty and they could do no wrong.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Speaking of soft and watered down, let's move on to our next beer.
All right. So this one
came, I'm here to help.
Yeah. So this is the hazy brother of Pernicious that came out last year in 2023. It is 6.9% ABV, so a little bit less than its big brother.
So this is the brother that transitioned to hazy.
Right, IPA. Transitions to hazy, yes. So the hazy hop delivery vehicle is to be enjoyed fresh and often. Citra and Simcoe from our favorite hop fields drive the juicy IPA. With its crushability and effortless finish, you'll never look at a hazy IPA the same. This one is hop with Citra and Simcoe.
I don't know, man.
This is not good.
This is a lot sweeter, and to even say that it is a stepchild of Pernicious.
Is this what they're expanding into New England with? Like, I know they're going to do some expanding.
I hope not, because that's going to get you a wicked China.
It's just like, it's just the most basic mass-produced hazy. Like, it's so boring. This beer makes me angry.
Whoa.
But it's like not poorly made.
It's
just so
innocuous.
And you won't like him when he's just so.
You're saying this was really good 6 years ago?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, that's accurate.
If it was made six years ago.
That's what it reminds me of is just this was a great recipe, you know, 6 or 7 years ago that they came out with. But, you know, we've had, you know, 1,000+ other beers that are in this style that are actually a lot better than this. This is just, I don't know.
Just low effort.
Yeah, it's very bourgeois.
You know what pisses me off about this, kind of going back a second, was, you know, I remember walking with Walt and Luke, like pulling nails in the Funkatorium, and they were like, oh, we'll never sell out and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I said, we were trying to sign him. We had a relationship with him, and I was at the Miller Coors house at the time. And I'm like, yeah, we can't do that right now. I'm like, well, that's strange. And like, they were just like, oh, we'll never sell out. We'll never, but yeah. Like, it's interesting because like this beer is sellout beer.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
This is yeah. like, yeah. if you just want to make a hazy beer that you think anybody would, you know, just kind of middle of the road.
It's like when you feel obligated to have a hazy in the lineup. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to feel that this was not made by Wicked Weed, but by the marketing team at ABN.
the computers.
The Don Draper of 20.
We're here from InBev, and we're here to help. Was what happened.
It's almost like when you make an Imperial IPA or a Session IPA, and you just take you have a really good IPA, and you're going to make a Session or an Imperial version of it. And instead of like creating a recipe for that new beer that is tailored to that style, you just take your recipe and you kind of
reduce it by 25% or up it by 50%.
Mess around with it a little bit. Yeah. Or something. I don't know. Just
okay.
A mess.
We are going to rate the Pernie Hayes Hazy IPA from Wicked Weed a 2.
Do better, AB and Biff.
So I think that's kind of provoking the next question I wanted to throw out for a little bit of discussion, which is when you are looking at the influence of the, you know, acquiring overlords that have come into a lot of these brands.
I like that.
You know, if you had to overcharacterize the net effects, are you saying that what's happened here with, you know, Pernicious Haze or Perry Haze is
Perineum
that it got better, it got worse, they tweaked recipes, tweaked meaning the accounting people came in and changed, you know, vendors for a certain hop, and no, it's not going to taste the same, but we saved 20%, you know.
Yeah, definitely, like the contracts they have, like there's Galaxy and Motueka, you were saying, in Pernicious, there's absolutely no way that was in Pernicious when they first made it, like literally no one knew about Galaxy.
They weren't there yet,
unless you're in Australia.
Or you were a stripper. I mean,
and your name's Galaxy. Yeah. The Galaxy they knew about was the South Asheville, you know,
warehouse. I can definitely see, you know, the yield accounting, you know, department of AB InBev stepping in and having a measure of undue influence on the operations.
That's part of buying it, right? You know, and the economies of scale. We get this grain at this rate, so this is what there you're new to.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, yeah, absolutely. And that's
somehow we got too much of this hop, so we're going to need you to go ahead and make a beer with
Which brings us to our next one.
And it's called Pernie Hayes. Yeah,
Pernie Hayes. Just call it Pernie Hayes.
Well, the next beer is Freak of Nature. Freak of Nature, as well as Pernicious, were some of their original
beers.
I don't know that they were the first ones, but whenever I started going, you know, I don't even remember, 2011 or 12 or something.
And the before sure times and the long ago.
But I can't speak to the taste.
I think they first opened in 2012, so probably back then.
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up an hour away, and Asheville is always the place to go for arts and culture and beer.
Hippies.
Sure. And hippies, yeah.
Dirty, you know. Dirty.
Goddamn dirty, filthy dirty, hippies. Yeah.
You hold your gummy like this.
All right. So speaking of Freak of Nature, let's talk about Freak of Nature. It is 8.5% ABV. Freak of Nature, noun, 1, an unusual, unexpected natural phenomenon. 2, an outlying West Coast style double IPA brewed with an abnormally large quantity of hops. 3, a delicately crafted and crushable ale designed for fresh and immediate consumption. 4, a hophead vice or downfall. Example, though warned about its habit-forming hoppiness, they were seduced by the dank, tropical, and drinkable Freak of Nature. So hops used were Centennial Chinook Columbus Warrior and then dry hopped with Amarillo, Centennial, Columbus, and Simcoe.
So I think Freak of Nature is actually Barger's stage name.
Nice. That makes so much sense.
Maybe a wrestling name, yeah.
I feel a new tattoo just got born right there. Yeah, this is actually pretty good.
I like this.
It's a clean West Coast.
This is pretty solid.
Guys, this orange is Gynemonosaurus.
Okay.
There you go.
It's got that little alcohol kind of hop burn, but you know, it's a double.
It's not bad for 8.5%.
No. Always kind of held or hidden alcohol well, I think.
Yeah, but you're going to get wrecked after two of these.
Absolutely. Oh, heck yeah.
You better eat some. They used to be like 16-ounce bottles, I think.
Yeah.
You better eat some tacos.
So one of them beer. Fast enough and you're good.
You're going to fight somebody or something.
Yeah, I mean, I remember.
It don't take much to get Sparky ready to fight, though.
Well, I'm ready. Let's go right now.
Driving from Nashville down to South Carolina, and I'd drive most of the way and get to the brew pub, and I'd... My wife, then girlfriend, walk the dog while I go make my sour order and have a pint of Freak Nature, have a pint of Pernicious, and let her finish the drive.
I was going to say, she probably took over the wheel.
Just let me...
Mel.
Yeah, bless her. But that was the...
Then Tim would take a nap.
Yeah.
It's time for beer sleepies.
Also, it reminded me of Lagunitas. You know, if I had to say something that, you know, really, it was like, wow, you know... I think it's just because, you know, I think of that as the keeper of kind of what does a double IPA, you know, really taste like.
Yeah, for sure.
From a reference guideline and, you know.
You can see through it.
This really kind of steps right into this. This still holds up very well. This is definitely in a style. I mean, if we had it in a beer competition, it would definitely, you know, get a good high rating for me for sure. I think this is actually probably one of the more truer taste profiles when of the three we've had so far, this one is like, yeah, I remember it just like this.
This one is everything
hasn't changed.
That last one is not. Like it stands out. Yeah. It's a bold flavor, and they really went to make a, you know, solid beer.
I don't think the accountants have screwed around with this recipe. Right. Yeah.
No, which is great.
This still will allow you to nap all the way to South Carolina.
Yes. Oh yeah. You'll get a nice sleep.
Like wow. Nice beer sleep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we are going to rate Freak of Nature Double IPA a 4. Okay. Next up for bids is the Coastal Love Hazy IPA. And this one is ironically appropriate. 6.3% ABV, the second beer to hit distribution in our Beers That Build series. A portion of the proceeds for this juicy IPA are donated to hurricane relief efforts in the Southeast. Mm. It doesn't say what hops are used in it, but...
Or what hurricane.
Juicy.
Yeah, I don't know. Yes.
I like this beer a lot, man.
It has a lemon peel overtone.
It's weird coming off that last beer because that last beer lingers a little bit, but
it's got like a lemon drop kind of thing, like, you know, like those candies.
Lemon heads?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's such a great candy.
Yeah.
Lemon heads.
But I thought that the bitterness in this just reminded me of a straight up lemon peel, you know.
You get a lot of those.
Here, we can rate this up before we cut out for
it's
break.
Nice though. Yeah, we're gonna go with we're gonna rate the Coastal Love a 3.
Oh, you guys.
It'd be a good solid beach beer.
I agree.
You're a 4 to me, Coastal Love.
Yeah. No, that's it's different, but good. Well, like we'll be back with more in just a minute.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. So today we're talking about Wicked Weed Brewing, the before and the after, so to speak.
Well, speaking of before, after, and thereafter, so the question I wanted to throw out for our cast today is when you think about the general cycle that we're in right now in craft beer, when you look at acquisitions, are we at the beginning? Are we kind of at the middle of that phase, or are we at the end of that?
I don't think there's never going to be an end as much as it is a different part of the cycle or a different era.
Oh, I think $1 billion was the end.
That was the end of an era and the start of a new one. Absolutely.
I don't think anybody will hit that valuation again.
I think, you know, there's over 9,000 breweries in the United States. A lot of first and second generation are starting to close down now of the original brew pub era. And, you know, I mean, the reality is the younger generations are not drinking alcohol. They're just not. So that 9,000 number is unsustainable. It's just not. So is there an opportunity to get some smart acquisitions in there? Yeah, probably. But there's a lot of dead weight that's going to fall to the side over the next 5 years, I think, as we kind of come out of the pandemic and we deal with this generation that doesn't like alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I will start selling beer goggles, though, because they need that, I feel.
I have invented a new style of beer. Yeah. So you basically just take any hazy beer that you've been producing for the last 3 years and you add THC and you call it hazy and laced.
Yeah.
Hazy, I like that.
I've trademarked that.
Hazy and lazy.
I know you're California sober, right? Like that's a thing now. Yeah. So
I think THC is just going to obliterate everything on the landscape for the next 10 years.
And I think it's the sad thing about that is that I've tried a lot of those beverages and
the base beverages are not good.
No, they're not good. It's they just a way to be. They don't have to be. It's, well,
once the industry blows up, you'll get the more and more craft aspect of that. But I think in terms of acquisitions, like the big boys and girls out there are done buying.
I hope
these
so.
Breweries, and they tried what they wanted to do and some worked, some didn't. And now I think you'll see like kind of more creative or different money, maybe at some of these regional ones that are struggling because craft brewing is in a downturn. There's just so little growth unless you're making beer that's non-alcoholic.
I felt like the buyouts, there were a couple of different reasons people were buying. Like sometimes it was, I see a successful brand. We can probably push this and make some money. And then sometimes it seems like they would just buy it to sit on it. And then, like,
this is a threat to us.
Just the one brewery that came to my mind that just got sat on.
Yeah.
You know,
Reverend Mark and I have talked about that.
Like, let's just get it out of the way.
The strategy was push
you off. This is a regional threat. Yeah. We're going to kill it off so we can get more tap handles.
I think they added, you know, basically.
Growing, fine, we'll.
Yeah, they added Washington and Idaho and, you know, maybe Northern California and called it a day for 10 barrel.
Because, like, I know.
One of the first was that Virginia.
Yeah.
Devil's Backbone. They had that one beer that was
Vienna Lager was
Vienna Lager.
Great Vienna Lager, and then
that was maybe their first one they ever bought.
It was early.
I feel Goose
was first.
That was pretty early on. Yeah, but like because you know like the big breweries, they you know they have different techniques for carving out shelf space, you know, with the distributors, like, you know, hey, we'll offer incentives or do different things, you know, just to get more and more of that shelf and aisle space.
Pay to play.
I have to tell you though, like being like intimately involved with like Sweetwater and Lagunitas and some of these, you know, Ballast Point, some of these brands, and just watching their culture just get completely, because that's what they always came in with, like, oh, we're gonna let you keep your unique culture.
Can't
and
sip culture.
You can't.
And you can just still drink on the job. Yeah, just, and like
you would go in to the Lagunitas brewery in Chicago and they were playing Pure Imagination from Willy Wonka, and it was like the trippiest, craziest stuff on the planet, and they just shut it down, right, like a couple of months ago. And it's like you kept seeing all this like unique, amazing culture just completely annihilated.
Thanks for making great beer, now go get a real job.
And it was always sad too, because they would always, you know, I knew a lot of those people in the middle that like were the brand ambassadors, they're really passionate about it. they're all out of a job now. They're all gone. Like they had this, like they built it up to this huge thing. And then
welcome to Crystals. Would you like a 10 pack today?
Yeah, totally.
It's like the first thing they bring in is a time clock, you know? All right. No, everybody, you know.
Cool. Yeah. Well, they did talk about Wicked Weed. They always talked about kind of being hands off and like Goose Island, you know, which we say is still kind of success for InBev, like in Chicago. Chicago people love those bars or tap rooms or whatever they call them. Like there's four or five at least across the city that are
close one in Lincoln Park. Yeah.
I mean, they're
crazy.
I mean, they're still, when I've been there, there's still a lot of people there.
Honkers, like they, and 312.
The local community still does embrace them. And Wicked Weed wanted that, but I feel like
it's not scaled outside of Chicago, right?
I really think the one thing that they did very well with the Goose products is that they took them and did off-premise exceptionally well, especially in sports venues, where they gave up one tap handle that they already had.
312.
Correct. And they put Goose, you know, they put Honkers, you know, directly on, one of those taps that they already had. And took off, you know, a brand that they had been swapping, you know, 4, 5, 10 different times. And I think that was what, you know, really, I was looking at that and going, oh, so that's the model. That's what you're going to do with all these acquisitions.
But they didn't.
And they did not.
It was like a different.
They did not copy that
right.
model.
Yeah. That was confusing.
Of taking a lot of things and swapping InBev, you know, taps, you know, out for other products, you know, that had been placed in the portfolio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that, you know, I don't know if it's true, but they bought up like either a bunch or trademarked a bunch of like either area codes or like airport codes. And then every airport would have its own,
you 615,
know, this could have been some rumor for sure.
I would have loved a 615 with the carpet of the old airport.
Exactly. So every airport has the 312, 615, all that.
My gosh. What a bad idea.
But that could have also been.
Speaking of a bad idea, let's talk about this pineapple.
Okay. So
I was hoping we would.
We were in the flagship series, and now we're going to the Dr. Dank series. This is the Dr. Dank Pineapple Dream, 6.7% ABV. Dr. Dank's delectable juicy botanicals offer the dankest of flavors to expand the mind, body, and palate. This IPA, dreamiest new world hops with real pineapple for a tropical resinous blast.
It almost tastes like pineapple juice. It's
turnt. I was gonna say, this is like a can of Dole that you had to kunk. Like I remember like pineapple sculpin, like that was all right.
Oh yeah,
that was all right.
That was pretty
that
good.
One was okay.
Can we just accelerate the conversation about all three of these
about
fruits?
The colors? Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I think we should just accelerate this and then go to the bonus beer.
Okay. One thing that's true about this though, it is dank.
It is. Yeah. It smells super dank. The flavors are complete opposite. Dank and like acidic pineapple
does not work.
Does not work at all.
No, but you taste pineapple. Granted, it's a crazy pineapple.
And mango is even a worse idea.
Well,
and the strawberry is
okay. But anyway, so right. The Dr. Dank pineapple.
How do you want to rate the pineapple
dream?
One,
we are going to rate
a 5?
One.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
A 1.
Yeah.
Oh, God. See, this goes back to what's better, 1 or 5? I don't know.
Gosh.
Okay, and then moving on, let's go to the, again, in the Dr. Dank series, the Mango Wowie. This is 6.2% ABV.
Worst beer of the flight.
Dr. Dank offers the dankest of flavors to expand your mind, your body, and your palate. So this hazy IPA uses awe-inspiring cashmere and citra hops with real mango for a blast of tropical fruit.
Yeah. This beer makes me want to offer Pernie Hayes a sincere apology
for all the terrible things I
said about it.
This is the worst beer in the flight.
I just
today.
Saved some freak so I can cleanse my palate from whatever's left. So
I am going to send them a free t-shirt that says, please stop making this beer.
I will say one nice thing about this beer. It does have a pleasant mango aftertaste.
Yeah. It does, but it doesn't taste like a beer to me.
No. You put some THC.
I hate mango. It's the only fruit I hate. and I feel sorry for it that all I right. got put in this beer.
You so hate bad. Mango? How do you hate a fruit?
I don't know. I didn't pick
what
my
flavors. What did it ever do to you?
You don't know about his childhood.
This is don't a really good Canadian export.
Tim was.
I don't want to talk about it.
Tim was okay. pelted with mangoes as a
little
child.
Poutine with this mango.
You see this lump on my
it
head?
It could work.
Oh my God.
Okay, it's just it's not a beer.
Good.
And right. we're and it's not good.
Okay, okay.
We're
going to
rate it a one.
All right, fine.
Can we talk about the strawberry nightmare?
It was better than the...
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. It was so the mango was better than the pineapple.
It was.
Okay, yeah. So this one in our fruity series is actually... This is a flagship, and this is the strawberry kiwi burst. Yes, because when you go to their website, they have the flagship, the Dr. Dank, the seasonal, the barrel-aged specialty.
Does it come in an overwhelming desire to put on white boots.
Does okay. this have like a 32-ounce can and it's actually a strawberry kiwi arita? Is that what we're doing?
Okay, so this is a 4.5% session sour. Session sour ale, okay?
No, that's a lie.
Yeah. There's nothing good that's going to come of this.
Okay,
at all.
So
jello shots are way better.
So the smell is artificial strawberries.
Oh yeah, it put the A in artificial.
That's
for
not
sure.
Even the, yeah. Where do you start?
I'm here for you.
Oh my
Tim.
God, it makes
Tim,
me want to. Yeah.
Now, if you need, I've got you.
Yeah. So last night,
I'm going through a lot right now.
You're putting some freak in that strawberry.
This. I was in this long conversation about about cocktails, and we were discussing aromatics. This needs an atomizer that just is so offensive that smells like dead farts that you just do not want to drink it.
If this was a vodka seltzer, I mean, I would not be surprised. Like if you poured this as a
right. If you put some THC drinks. In this, it would actually be a good beverage.
Yes, that's exactly correct. Right. It would sell, yes. Yeah.
You can make 4.5 in THC lace.
10 milligrams?
Yes.
Yes.
We'll call it fruity and lace.
Are we sure this is not NA?
Oh,
no.
Should be.
I mean, yeah.
Is there alcohol in this? NA.
Yeah. 4.5%.
You know, yeah, you said, volume? Hey, this is like a vodka can cocktail. I'd say, thanks. But if I said, can I have a beer and you handed me this, I would just walk away.
We'd right
we
face.
Would never be friends.
Yeah, yeah, I was going with it.
Oh, all right. Man, this is worse than the Aldi show.
Yeah, that was a one,
good Lord, like everything just sort of fell off a cliff.
I just, every time I go into Aldi, which I've like, it's taken some time, I've like had some stranger danger. Like,
so do you think that this style line, we've had some really good sour beers, you know, from Wicked Weed's, you know, Funkatorium, for sure. I don't know who dreamed up, you know, this fruited nightmare, you know, line, but
Satan.
Do you think that? Well, speaking of Satan,
you've got the devil
in you. Do you think that it was, you know, InBev overlords that stepped in and said we can market and make this, you know, low
they
ADV.
They showed them
line
some.
Really
have you seen the
well.
Show Limearita? Guess what happens when we throw strawberry in it, friends?
They showed some trend analysis. I'm pretty sure.
And I don't think these are infected. These are just
no. They're not.
Yeah.
No,
these are intentional acts of war.
Their QA has got to be crazy. Yeah, they're not sending out infected beer. They're just they came upon like a shipping container full of strawberry candies.
Do you think this is like Boar's Head Braunschweiger?
I like the fact that we're even having the conversation. I don't think it's infected. That's like every time I cut my hand or something, and Juliana's like,
about
you need
the
to
growth?
Go to the doctor.
Wow. We're talking about your growth again.
Look, yeah. I don't think the hair is infected.
All right, here, hold on, guys. I'm going to show you my growth.
Oh, my God.
Thank God for radio.
And scene.
In so many ways. Okay.
Emotional damage. Well, this next beer you poured for us, JB, is pretty good. So
okay,
let's chat about
so,
it.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you to good old boy Tim for bringing this.
Oh, you did.
Now, this...
So much wood.
It's a byproduct of hanging out in North Carolina for 15 years.
Sure
Sparky,
off,
this
finally.
Is a family show.
Okay, this is the Batch 1000. This is 11.5% ABV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're not going to feel your molars. It's
nope.
Okay. Bourbon barrel-aged imperial dark ale brewed with turbinado sugar, dried cherries, golden raisins, star anise, rose hips, and plums. Mm. Each of the first three brewers at Wicked Weed, so Luke, Walt, and Eric, chose two of the ingredients that were used in this special batch.
Okay. How come I have a feeling this is a pre-acquisition beer?
I think it was.
This is a pre-acquisition
beer. Oh, I know it was
beer.
Because I bought it.
Right.
I'm like literally not joking though.
No, this is right. This is a pre-acquisition beer.
None of my money shall go to InBev.
And this honestly represents the heyday of what we enjoyed about Wicked Wheat. Yeah. Because I have like two untapped.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah. And one of them was last year we had a bottle that we opened up, and then the other one was from 2017.
This is a great beer. Very complex.
It's great.
It's like 20 layer cake. Yeah.
I'm not getting into the rose hips or any of that stuff, but turbinado and raisins like all day long. For sure.
Yeah, and a little bit of the cherry, you know, like a whiskey cherry kind of thing going on.
I can see that.
Yeah.
All in there.
But so much wood from like
right.
It's all wood and anus.
Yes.
I mean, it's great.
Yep. No, and this is a five because this really represents the greatness.
It has a date on the bottle, I think.
You know what? And we're going to give good old boy Tim a five for bringing it.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Good job, Tim.
This was bottled 3/21/16.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That was before, in the before times.
When we were all young and innocent.
Long ago.
Right. Yes.
Well, I think to wrap up a little bit of our conversation of our topic today is, you know, I look forward to going back and listening to this episode like 5 years from now and going, we were right or we were wrong, you know, because I don't think any of us would have guessed this is where, you know, a lot of these beers from acquisition would have wound up, you know.
Yeah.
Do you remember what Sparks was like before the stroke? Here, listen to this episode.
Right.
Okay. Good boy, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. Come back, listen to another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I will ask you to keep on sipping.
Big Ginger.
Good old boy, Sparky. Thanks for being here.
I will do my all for the University of Tennessee.
Wow.
Good old boy, Tim. Thanks for bringing the beer, and thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. Wicked Weed was an early craft beer love, especially from North Carolina, so it was fun to revisit. And
yeah.
Thanks.
Cool. Good old boy, Dave.
My nipples are always hard.
Yeah, I knew it was coming.
And that's, it goes with that saying.
You just had to pace. That
this
was it.
This is good to come, Juliana. It's keep not that on difficult. Chuggling and God bless. We'll see you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.